I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am said host Mike Madison here 9 to 11 o'clock every weekday. This is the story behind the story. Truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and also I'm going to add today an alternative to the constant distractions the media tries to stick their fingers up your nose and drag you around to look at. This is Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinking. Here on the show, we treat politicians like our children, to be kept in line and guided to right action, not like our parents, which is the more popular way that people view politicians now. We wait for them to fix things for us, and they tell us what we can and cannot do. I see all politicians as employees, not deities. That's the difference in this show here. So I've got important things to get to, some things that I think are interesting. So let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. I understand yesterday the bat signal went out. I had to take a day off the air yesterday unexpectedly. But I understand Robert Mueller said something yesterday. And let me guess, because I did not listen to it. Plenty of clips. I saw one news story about it where they cut out a little bit. And I clipped it and thought, well, I can use that and play it on the show. And you know what? Nah, not going to. It was CBS, establishment news, breaking it down, breathlessly covering. What does this mean? What does Robert Mueller's latest pronouncement mean? But let me just guess. Is nobody else sick of this? Is nobody else realize that this is just political theater on both sides? The Democrats are just empowering Trump by attacking him. It's solidifying his base. Unfortunately, Trump is not, he's not attracting new people. His approval ratings show that he's just kind of, he's there with his base, plus a few people come and go and come and go according to the polls. And the Democrats rally their base to go, we're going to get rid of Trump. We're going to impeach. It's political theater. I'm not going to participate in that. But let me guess, yesterday, whatever Mueller said, let me guess, it really made Trump supporters mad and it really fired up Democrats about impeachment. I'm just guessing. I'm just guessing that Democrats loved it and said that, oh, he's pointed to some smoke. I mean, I heard the gist of what he said, but I care nothing. I care nothing about what he says. And it's not that this is not an important story as to what's going on in this attempted coup against Donald Trump by the deep state. The problem is that we've made no moves. Nothing's happened. It's a big yawner to me. But see, here is where the hyper-partisanship of this country turns everybody into a hypocrite. And you can think it to yourself, I talk to you alone, right? You're in your car, at your computer, got your headphones on while you're on the treadmill, whatever, however you listen to the show, however you can say, it's just you and me. Now, I was guilty of this, and years and years ago, I was guilty of this, and I ultimately ended up doing some self-analysis, some self-introspection to see if I was guilty of this. If Mueller had been investigating Hillary, then the Democrats would hate him and the Republicans would love Robert Mueller. And you don't have to look too far back to know that if you're, 30 or older, 35, 40 years or older, if you remember the Bill Clinton thing. I actually looked, you know, because I remember the Bill Clinton impeachment time. And I was one of the Kool-Aid drinkers that was out there, you know, demanding that he resign and, you know, getting into the whole thing. The Democrats were incensed that the Kenneth Starr investigation was going where it was going. Do you know what I had to look again. I had to look this up. The impetus, the beginning of the Ken Starr investigation that led to the impeachment of Bill Clinton. The charges arose from an investigation by Starr, an independent counsel, originally dealing with Whitewater, which was a real estate deal. Starr, with the approval of the United States Attorney General Janet Reno, conducted a wide-ranging investigation of alleged abuses, including the Whitewater affair, the firing of White House travel agents, and the alleged misuse of FBI files. On January 12, 1998, Linda Tripp, who had been working with the Jones lawyers, informed Starr that Lewinsky was preparing to commit perjury in the Jones case and had asked Tripp to do the same. She also said Clinton's friend Vernon Jordan was assisting Lewinsky based on the connection to Jordan, who was under scrutiny at in the Whitewater probe. Starr obtained approval from Reno to expand his investigation into whether Lewinsky and others were breaking the law, and that's where we ended up with Bill Clinton being impeached on obstruction of justice and everything. And conservatives loved that investigation. They loved it, myself included. I cheered the special counsel. And the Democrats said, no, leave him alone. This is so partisan. This is so biased. We've lived through this. It's not that long ago. And this is where the hypocrisy in everybody shines. But we don't want to admit it to ourselves. If the Mueller's report found no evidence of collusion in the Hillary campaign, the Democrats would say it's over and it should be forgotten and we need to move on. And the GOP would say, and cover up and demand more investigation. If the FBI opened a bogus investigation into Obama, Republicans would be making all kinds of excuses for him. We love the FBI. And Democrats would be crying witch hunt, demanding to investigate the investigators. Hannity would be pro-deep state every single night, and Rachel Maddow would be anti-deep state. Everybody would just flip-flop, because there is no longer any room in a hyper-partisan tribal world for consistent belief in anything unless it makes your team look good or bad. Everything's through the red or blue lens. And it's so obvious, but 95% of the people cannot even see their own hypocrisy. And that's why we are where we are. That's why the media feeds you this stuff day after day. That's why politicians exploit this on both sides to rally their bases, keep their campaign coffers full, and keep the system going exactly like it is, as we just lock heads. As long as you hate your liberal neighbor and your liberal neighbor thinks you're a Nazi, they're doing their job. Everything's just fine. I want you to just consider some things. Again, I say it's just you and me. Just you and me. Let's start with the left. Just the hypocrisy. If Hillary Clinton had won, we're going to have to do this thought experiment, as repulsive as it is to even consider the fact that Hillary Clinton might have become president of the United States. We were close, people. But if Hillary had become president and she had done criminal justice reform, the left would be singing her praises. Donald Trump does it, nothing. He gets no credit. Because what? Because he's a Nazi. Because the left has no critical thinking skills. Well, very few on either side have any critical thinking skills. They can't look at Donald Trump and go, he does some good things and some bad things. He does some things we like and some things we don't like. No, it's an all or nothing, because you got to be on your team. If Hillary had done criminal justice reform, they'd be falling over themselves singing their praises, singing her praises. If Hillary Clinton had won and did a peace deal with North Korea, they'd call her a master diplomat. But Hillary was a warmonger. And many of the Democrats are also warmongers, and the left considers themselves the loving peace party, or they used to anyway. But they will twist logic to support these warmongers. Hillary Clinton probably would have had us in World War III by now. And the left would have celebrated her for being some kind of great leader. Donald Trump killed the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which most true liberals would have been against. It was a globalist trade agreement. I'm for free trade. That was not free trade. That was managed trade. That was crony trade. Donald Trump killed it. Nothing. Nothing from the left. No praise, no nothing. If Hillary had killed the TPP, you'd cheer her. If Hillary said she wanted to bring back American manufacturing jobs, you'd say she's saving the country. And if the stock market was up under Hillary Clinton, you'd say that Hillary was responsible for it all. Look what she's doing for America. And in each one of these situations, the facts would be exactly the same. It'd just be a different person on the top, different person leading the charge. Because there's no intellectual consistency. There's no thinking through something. It's an emotional reaction to your team. And I'm telling you, it is killing this country. But as I'm prone to do here on the show, people on the right Conservatives? We've got our own intellectual consistency problem, don't we? If Hillary Clinton had got us tied up in a trade war that was hurting our farmers, oh my gosh, I can't imagine what would be coming out of the mouth of conservative pundits and Fox News. What I've seen instead now is, because this trade war is hurting farmers and farmers are starting to speak out about it, I see conservatives blaming the farmers. They didn't plant the right crops. They need to quit crying. He's trying to help them. I never would have thought in a million years I would see conservatives turn on our nation's farmers. But they will, because those farmers are speaking out against the party, man. They're not loyal. Mitch McConnell said he would seat another Supreme Court judge next year if he needed to, in the last year of Trump's first term. And the left says, wait a second, you wouldn't do that when Barack Obama was on his way out. You know what? They're right. They are. I don't want to give the left credit for anything, but they're right. You can't have it both ways. Either when a Supreme Court nominee comes up, you give them their day to be confirmed or denied, or you don't. Mitch McConnell laughed about it. Look, I'd like to see another conservative Supreme Court justice. Absolutely. So that's great news, but I'm at least not a hypocrite to say it's not hypocritical. If Hillary Clinton had banned bump stocks, the right would have been furious. Anti-Second Amendment. Gun grabber. If Hillary had us on the cusp of war with Iran and was attempting to overthrow Venezuela right now, conservatives rightfully would have been blasting her. I can't believe she's going to drag us into more wars. Because the conservatives would have voted for Trump, he just would have lost, and they would have voted for the man who came out and said it's time to end these disastrous wars and the $7 trillion we've spent needlessly. If Hillary Clinton was leading this foreign policy, and she might as well be, because she would have hired people like Bolton and Pompeo, people would be furious. If Hillary's administration and a Democratic Congress was running up trillions of dollars of debt, conservatives would be in the streets. And when a celebrity speaks out about politics from the left, what do we say on the conservative side? Nobody cares what you say. Shut up and sing. Just shut up and dribble. But another celebrity comes out that says something we agree with. We call them genius heroes. We don't have a problem with their expressing their political views. The left has this thing where they talk about civil liberties and all this other stuff, but they mobilize to kick a conservative off of campus. You can't even be heard on a campus if you're a conservative, as far as these social justice warrior radical leftists. And we rightfully look at that and say they've lost their minds. How can they be against free speech? This is ridiculous. It's supposed to be a battle of ideas. More ideas are better. That's how you figure things out. Discourse and conversation. We can't believe the radical left is censoring conservative voices from platforms like YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and college campuses. But let Fox News host a Democrat town hall and conservatives say, "What happened to Fox News? Why did you give any airtime to Mayor Pete or whoever the hell they've had on air there?" It is the hyper-partisan hypocrisy, to me, is stunning. And as I say, I know 95% of people don't see it. I would hope that somebody listening to this, as I say, it's just you and me. You don't have to stand up in front of your friends and go, "Hey, we're all being hypocrites now." But at least acknowledge it. And then decide, are you a tribal team player, which is where it's gotten us here, right? How many years have we had this right-left divide, this Republican-Democrat, this red-blue divide? It's gotten us and landed us right here where we are. And just realize, say, well, this is what I do. But don't pretend you've got some ideological core. I'm for small, limited government, unless my president isn't for small limited government, then I'm no longer for small limited government. I'm for ending all of these Middle East wars unless my president sends more troops to the Middle East and spends more money. I'm for ending all this expansionist. We're running around the world being the world's policeman. We need to stop doing that. We can't afford it and bring our kids home unless my president sends our troops halfway around the world to be the world's policeman, and then I'm okay with it. And that's what the Mueller is. That's what the Mueller report is. And then I'll get when I come back. Oh, whew. Did Donald Trump demand that the USS John McCain not be within his eyesight? Oh, my gosh. This is going to be a story. It's going to be at least for today. This one may not. The Mueller thing, we'll get this at least through the weekend. That'll give everybody several days to take to Twitter and to Facebook to call each other names and really get fired up, and then we'll move on to something else. There'll be another smoking gun or insinuation that Trump did something wrong. But for right now, the news of today is that Trump didn't want to see the USS John McCain, and then Meghan McCain sent out a tweet. I'm gonna correct her. I'm going to correct her on this tweet when I come back. Stay with me.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
We're back. I bet. Am I wrong on this? Am I wrong that this last 2 years has just been a bunch of gum wagging by the two political parties to tell you that the other one is terrible? And it's gotten us absolutely nowhere. Now, I agree. Look, this is Democrats' fault. It's the media's fault, this ridiculous Russia investigation. It shows you pure corruption. The problem is American people don't really care about corruption unless it's on the other side. And that's why it never gets fixed. Because we can't understand. The left is in love with the deep state now. They love the FBI, the DOJ, the CIA. These are groups that were spying on Martin Luther King. Tried to talk Martin Luther King, I believe it was the FBI, tried to talk Martin Luther King into killing himself. But now the left loves them. J. Edgar Hoover was just as corrupt as they come. But now the left loves the three-letter agencies. They love the deep state. The right, too. I mean, you know, the right is prone to this really pro-law enforcement thing. The problem is that the right doesn't pay attention to the fact that there are terrible, terrible laws on the books that are basically there just to target whoever they want. The laws are just fuzzy enough to where there can be selective application of all of them, just at the whim of whatever group heads up these agencies. It's why Julian Assange is now facing life in prison, something like 140 years, because he crossed that deep state. He crossed the people that matter, you know, the important people. He exposed some of their secrets. Now, your information can be hacked and spread all over the internet. It doesn't really matter. Your dirty secrets can get out and no one's going to really care. But boy, if you expose what the deep state does, if you expose war crimes or expose anything that the American people should want to know, it's just that we've been convinced by these same people that we're really not equipped. The government has to operate in the shadows. So we're Julian Assange took us out of the shadows, and the deep state, through this endless parade of propaganda, has convinced the American people that they really don't want to know. Don't tell us. That's supposed to be secret. I mean, the whole thing is on its head, and again, that's where I come back to the ideological consistency of conservatives who say we want a small, limited government, but we want to give our intelligence agencies just tremendous power to even spy on us, like the Soviet Union used to do in the 80s. To their own people, where we thought that was terrible, and now we allow these agencies to spy on us, and we think it's patriotic. It's bizarro world. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yes, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Going fine. This is Vince from Jackson. I was listening to you earlier, and I decided to go ahead and call. You were going over discussing the Mueller report from yesterday and how the left and the right responded to that. First of all, we don't know nothing about Donald Trump. We don't know anything about what has actually occurred. So for you and other Republicans to advocate...
Don't call me a Republican now.
I forgot. You actually were kind of in the middle. But those on the right who are really pushing real hard for... I heard Michael Guest yesterday. We need to move on. Well, the only problem with that is then we don't know anything yet. We do know that Mueller was unable, according to the law, to bring criminal charges because there was not a venue available for a sitting president.
All right. Hey, Vince, let me ask you a question. Let me just ask you a question, because this is what I'm asking people to do, to do a little bit of self-introspection. If this was happening on the Obama administration, do you believe, just imagine the facts are the same, the investigators are the same, the news cycle for the last 2 years has been the same, but Obama was sitting in office. Do you believe that you would have the same view? Do you believe that you'd be calling this radio station and saying, look, we don't know anything about Barack Obama, and you would just be focusing on the rule of law and allowing an investigation to unfold? Now, I'm calling out this on both sides, because I know that if this was Obama, that Sean Hannity would come on the news, come on his show every night at 9 o'clock on Fox News and support the FBI. And he would say, wherever there's smoke, there's fire, and we need to investigate deeper. I mean, everybody would switch 180 degrees if you just replaced the party and the face at the top. Do you believe that you would be calling this show and saying, I'd really like to see a deeper investigation that really gets to the truth if this was Obama or Hillary?
All right. Well, first of all, since you set the table that way, let me just add one statement to what you just referred to. First of all, we know that never happened on Obama, but since you set the table that way, in light of what actually has occurred, if there's more that we don't know, I still, in all honesty, would like to find out if there's something there. Secondly, when you mention the pundit who has no credibility nowhere in the world named Sean Hannity, I mean, it's one thing to be a propaganda artist, but don't hide under the guise that I'm a journalist or a reporter.
Okay.
I mean, you are what you are.
Right. I give that to you.
He has no credibility with nobody.
All right. Well, let me just ask you this question. All right, Vince, we got to go back and forth here. We got to go back and forth. I'm going to ask you the same question. Is Rachel Maddow any different than Sean Hannity? Is she somehow a journalist? Because Rachel Maddow has spent the last 2 years going after Trump. Hannity has spent the last 2 years defending Trump. Is there a lick of difference between the two of them?
Well, let me tell you the difference between Rachel Maddow. Rachel Maddow put documents on the screen. Rachel Maddow have an investigative team that investigates. Anything that she brings forth, she does the work of a researcher.
What has she proven?
Now, anything that she and it just so happened that the facts that she bring out happen to be very damaging to those who don't like who she's talking about.
Well, my question is, you got to answer this question.
She was the first person to call the Russian investigation. She said Trump is tied to the Russians.
And he wasn't.
That's what we found out in the Mueller report. The Russians did help him to win the election.
Vince. See, you're destroying my faith in humanity, because I'm trying to just have a conversation with you to we've got to pull ourselves out of this.
Did you hear the same thing I heard with Mueller yesterday?
Mueller said
the Trumps benefited from the Russians who actually helped him get elected. That's not something that I said. Mueller said that yesterday. He said that. You didn't hear that part of it.
I didn't even listen to it because I don't care.
From the Russians who were actually advocating putting all these bots and bogus information out there about blacks and everybody else to taint
and
the election.
And how did they do this? How did they do this? Are you referring to the $4,500 that they spent with Google and the $48,000? You mean to tell me that the American people...
got a thing going on right by now by miners.
Oh no, Vince, don't
coal
buy
miners.
Into this stuff, man. They
the
are lying to you.
The coal miners thing.
Look,
right now.
You mean to tell me that we've got a country that is so Vince, we got to go back and forth, or I'm about to have to go to break anyway, but look, you mean to tell me that we have got a country that is so stupid that is so easily tricked and misled that $48,000 worth of Facebook ads from some Russian bot farm actually swayed a presidential election that almost 200 million people or 180 million people voted in? Those Facebook ads tilted it because we are so intellectually incapable.
It was 3 million votes that went within the wrong state because Hillary got more votes than Donald Trump.
I got to tell you, the Russians have figured something out, and I don't want anybody sending any money to any political campaign because $48,000 worth of Facebook pages ads is all we need to sway a presidential election. Then they sure as hell don't need to be going out and raising $1 billion for campaign ads. Vince, got to run to a break, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right, got to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
You know, I'm just constantly looking for signs of some level of hope in humanity. I really am. I saw something the other night. I don't know if you saw this. I watch almost no television. I will find a comedy series and some kind of a drama like Narcos or The Wire or Ozark or something like that, and I'll watch an episode each night generally before I go to bed, but I watch almost no television. And but I'll have the television on while I'm working, getting ready for the show or doing other things around the house. And I just happened to have the television on to, I don't even know what the name of this, one of these talent shows that Simon Cowell is on now. I guess it's not American Idol. Four panels. What's his name? Howie Mandel was there. And I think Scary Spice. And I saw this, and I had the sound turned down. I just have something on in the room. And I don't know if you saw this kid. I call him a kid. I think he was around 22 years old. I went back and watched a video of it today. He's an autistic kid, a blind kid. And he comes out on stage. His mom brings him out there. He's blind. He's got his stick with him. His eyes are pointing two different directions. I didn't know he was blind until I heard it later. I didn't, but he was obviously, he was handicapped. He was. And so this kid sits down at the piano. It's just, I mean, you know, when you talk about special needs, this is the poster kid for it. I mean, I can't imagine what these parents have had to do over the years to take care and love this child who's now 22 years old, the challenges they've faced, how they've had to love him and take care of him. And this guy sits down at the piano. I mean, he couldn't speak. When they were interviewing him, when the panel was interviewing him, you need to look at this. I'll probably post it to my Facebook page, but you can find it anywhere. I'm sure it's gone viral. So I don't pay attention to Facebook and popular culture, really. I love music. I pay attention to the people I like, but I don't watch this stuff. I'm sure it's gone viral. And when they're interviewing this guy, he really can't communicate. Long pauses before he answers, and then he says things like, "Yeah, I'm going to do a song for you." It was very obviously he's autistic. He's got mental issues. And then he sits down at this piano, and he starts playing. And he's incredible. And then he opens his mouth to sing a song. And what comes out of this guy is stunningly beautiful. just an incredible musical talent. He'll never be a fully independent human being. He won't have the advantages that so many of us have as we wake up every day and go about our day, and we sweat all of the smallest, tiniest little stuff in our lives, and we create enemies for ourselves, and we complain about the traffic and stuff. And I look at these people who face these real challenges, and this family who's had to take care of them. I can't imagine. I've been a parent. I got 2 18-year-olds. And man, they've been easy. No trouble. I mean, it's not ever easy to parent, but good kids, fully healthy. And I just imagine what these parents have done for the last 22 years. But the most beautiful thing is inside that human. His talent was stunning and beautiful. And to know that they found that for him. So he's got this really, really special thing. I mean, I've always wanted tremendous musical talent. I'm just a huge music fan. I always wanted to be a rock star. But number one, I don't have necessarily a natural, I've got some good rhythm. For a white guy, I'll tell you, I think I've got some pretty good rhythm. But I didn't play drums because I wanted to play guitar because I wanted to be in front where the girls were. Another bad mistake made on ego and all the wrong choices. But I don't have innate musical talent. I certainly don't have a good singing voice. Now, this guy's got it all. And they found this for him. And the point of even saying that is that there is such beauty in this world and sometimes in the most unexpected places. And I am constantly seeking that out now. I am really paying close attention to my interaction with strangers that is really positive because they happen every day, all day long. I'm a pretty nice guy. And so I engage with people. I hold doors open. I say, hey, how are you doing when I pass somebody? And people respond back and they're friendly to me. And I have to take some nourishment from this that we can move through this world getting along, going about our lives, smiling, just enjoying a nice day and living in a great country and all the advantages we have, because the news just makes it seem like we're in a war here. And they've got us in this level of hate that I have never seen, and I'm old enough to have seen many different presidential administrations. I've been interested in politics long enough to have witnessed kind of the ebb and flow of political discourse. I don't know what it was like back in the 60s. I'm not that old. I don't know what it was like in the 50s, the 40s, or the 1819s. I don't know. But what I do know is that this is a manufactured hate machine. And meanwhile, the people that deserve the biggest scorn are the ones that sit atop this thing. And because Vince won't wake up and say, my side sucks too. I'm not trying to talk him out of disliking Trump. There's reasons to dislike Trump. I've got a clip next hour I'm going to play. Trump does it. Man, he makes some great points in this clip, and he makes some really wrong points. And that's what objective, independent thought is. It's what ideological consistency is. It's when you hear anybody, again, as I started the show, I treat politicians, and Donald Trump's a politician now, I treat them like employees, not deities. But both sides put our people up on pedestals. Meanwhile, they're bankrupt in this country, sending our kids off to fight and die for wars that only profit a few tiny, tiny fraction of people. Both administrations, all administrations. And that's why I don't care what Mueller said yesterday. I don't care. It's going to be something else next week and the week after that and the week after that. And you've got Sean Hannity and a whole host of conservative national hosts out there that will cover it ad infinitum to get you to really rally into that base, to really hate the left. And believe me, I'm disgusted by what the left has become. Just disgusted. It's bizarro. I mean, some of it is just pure clinical insanity what they're doing. These poor girls that are losing track meets and weightlifting competitions because some guy who decided he was a chick about 3 months ago goes in and sweeps all the awards. You would think feminists would be outraged by this, but they're not, because they've got no intellectual consistency either. See, we're living in a post-truth world. Democrats and Republicans, Nancy Pelosi, Donald Trump, I don't care who it is, they all come out and say things that are patently not true. And their base believes it, and the other side says it's a lie. The media says some things so often that people just accept them as truth, and they're just lies. There's, I cover stories here all the time, investigations that turn out that, you know, something that's been reported to us for years and years never happened. But the media, that doesn't stop the media. They just ignore the studies or the reports that come out that debunk the crap they've been pushing for a couple of years. They just ignore it and they don't report it. And so most people don't hear it in the mainstream news, so they just don't believe it. That's why I do False Flag Friday. I'm at least trying to say, hey, I'm not going to get down in this left-right stuff. It's pointless. It's stupid. I agree with opposing the left. I don't want a socialist to run this country. Now, look, the beautiful thing is in the American society, maybe we catch on a little quicker. The socialists took charge. Maybe we would finally disabuse everybody of this notion that it can possibly work, that centrally planned economy for 328 million people, that just the idea that that would work is laughable. But maybe we need to let them try it and fall on their face, unfortunately. I mean, it doesn't seem like we can stop them, but I've done shows on the fact that the right loves their socialism too. We love the central bank. They need to cut interest rates to help Donald Trump now. We want them to manipulate interest rates in this country, take them away from the free market, and give the power to this Federal Reserve so that they can give Donald Trump lower interest rates so the economy grows better under him. Because it's not fair that, I mean, it's just, oh my God. Again, there's no intellectual curiosity. There's no intellectual consistency. The right loves their Social Security. They love their Medicare. They love their Medicaid. They love this massive military operation that the taxpayer dollars funnel into massive corruption and waste, fraud, and abuse throughout the Pentagon that cannot pass an audit and cannot account for over $8 trillion because their bookkeeping is so bad. But why do they have to keep the books? Nobody cares. That's a socialist institution. That's a centrally planned. And it's not, that's not anti-military or anti-American for you snowflakes out there. That's just pure insanity, a nation that just spend itself into bankruptcy. Do you not know the lessons of history? I'm just looking for hope in humanity somewhere. I think I try to come off on this show to just say, look, you know, I don't come at it from a partisan view. I mean, you know, if you think you're getting the straight scoop from somebody who's pledged allegiance to one party or the other, how could you possibly be getting the truth? Everything has to be slanted. I don't care what network it's on. I don't care what talk radio show you're listening to. If somebody is in love with a politician or a party, then you're not being told the truth. You're being told their version of the truth, right? I try to do so many facts on this show, but they bounce off the American people like bullets off of Superman now.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
I'm going to repeat myself one more time. I kind of beat myself up. I want to bring news stories. I try to find what I think are interesting things. And I mean, I guess I can't judge for everybody. Listeners to the show can decide whether this show is interesting or not. But sometimes I just feel it's necessary to repeat myself. See, here's my frustration with watching this hyper-partisan thing go on. You're ignoring the things that are truly important. And they are just chugging on like an out-of-control freight train headed straight for a cliff. See, we're in deep trouble right now. Deep, deep trouble. We're in deep financial trouble. We are not in the greatest economy this country's ever seen. We are probably, if you look at the yield curve, I don't want to get into all that. Goodness knows, I don't want people falling asleep while they're driving because I can't imagine an interesting way to talk about the yield curve. But their recessionary signs are flashing. But conservatives only want to look at the consumer confidence numbers are high. If you look at consumer confidence numbers throughout history, you find they pretty much peak right before the crash. Our economy is so manipulated, we're just stacking debt on top of debt. We had a debt crisis in 2008, and how did we solve it? With anyone? Anyone? More debt. See, I know how this ends. And I also know it's maybe why I kind of speak out and try to break up this conditioning, this left-right, red-blue, Republican-Democrat, conservative-liberal war, because I know how it happens. The crash comes. Things fall apart. Things get really bad. And what will happen is people will ignore the Federal Reserve. They'll ignore the politicians who spent us into debt. They'll ignore the empire that we built right under our nose. They will ignore the mass surveillance state we've put in here. And the Republicans will all say, look what happened. The Democrats crushed the economy because X, Y, or Z. And the Democrats will go, look, the Republicans collapsed the economy because of tax cuts. I see it coming a mile away. We got big, big, big structural problems. And nobody's paying attention to those. But let Mueller whisper in a men's room stall and we're all ears. We'll talk about it for a week. That's the sad part to me. And I mean, so I soldier on, alone, in my bunker here, trying to point you to the things that I think are actually important.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, studio number here, 601-879-0002. If you'd like to join the show. I mean, if you want to talk about Mueller, I guess we can. I can't stop you. I don't screen calls. Sometimes I don't take calls. If I get into a story and I want to play some clips and stuff like that, I might not take a call. I apologize for that. I maybe should be better about that, but it's you're not going to get 2 hours of Mueller on me. You know, I'm a kind of a strange person. I can't be fake in a way. Now, you know, sometimes I have to, you know, you have to get along with some people maybe you normally wouldn't get along with. But I don't think I would even be capable of doing a show to talk about Mueller for the last 2 years. You know, I believe it would probably be better for ratings. I would imagine maybe without exception, everybody at this station would like it if I would fill 2 hours with Trump love and Mueller hate. For two years, I mean, maybe everybody wants me to do that. It's just like it's not in my DNA. I was a financial advisor for a period of time. I really wanted to be a yuppie. And I'd been in the restaurant business for a long time, was ready for change, working late night hours. Well, I worked late, and then, you know, I had to tack on the last couple of hours where I would sit around after work and have a drink and decompress from a restaurant shift. So, you know, 3 to 5 a.m. I was working, and I was expecting twins. So I said, nah, I mean, I just don't want to live this lifestyle while I'm trying to raise kids. So I made this move into the financial services industry. A lot of my friends during the 1990s, if you remember the stock market of the 1990s, all my friends were making tons of money in the financial services, and I was interested in the economy. I said, man, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go be a yuppie. I'm going to buy a BMW. I'm going to get some French cuffs, and I'm going to be a financial advisor. And so I got in there. I did extremely well. You take tests, the Series 6, the Series 7, some other tests that are pretty difficult. I actually left my restaurant job and took 2 months off while I just studied for this test. It was kind of a It was a risky move, I'll put it that way, because I had this test coming up. I either had a new career or I was just out of work. But I studied hard for this test and ended up doing extremely well on it. I can't remember what I made, like a 91 or something like that. To which most people in the industry just said, oh my gosh, you spent way too much time studying. I thought I needed to really be familiar with this. Well, as I started my career as a financial advisor, I was on the threshold of becoming this yuppie that I thought I wanted to be with the BMW and the French cuffs and the 9-to-5. And I even went out and got myself some golf clubs. I was ready to be that guy. And I got into the industry and I didn't like it at all, not because I wasn't interested in the economy, not that I didn't want to help people. I did find out I don't have much of a stomach for putting people's money into stuff where they might lose their money. I just felt really responsible. And, you know, to manage money, you have to have an ability to stomach the losses for your clients, because even the best financial advisors out there, sometimes the market turns against you. What are actually good investments will sour on you for a period of time. And I'm not really wired that way. But more than that, I realized as I learned the industry, you really have to fleece your clients out of a lot of commissions to make a good living. For me to be that yuppie with the French cuffs and the BMW, I had to sell my clients into things that in my heart I did not think were suitable for their situation. And I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And so I was sitting there at the threshold of, you know, what at the time would have felt like just riches, you know, a couple $100,000 a year in this lifestyle. And I'm sure my wife would have been thrilled and my kids would have been happy. We would have lived the, you know, been able to go out and buy a McMansion. And I just couldn't pull the trigger. We would have these people come in, these salespeople from national organizations that were selling things like annuities. And I mean, they're sometimes suitable times for annuities, but these salespeople would come in and all the financial advisors would get around the conference table and they'd do their presentation. And invariably, the only question that most financial advisors around the table were asking is, get to the part where you tell us what our commission is. And on annuities and things like that, the commission would be anywhere between 6% and 15%. And I could look around the room at my fellow financial advisors, and a few of them, I'd see a little bit of drool coming out of the side of their mouth because they realized they had a client that had just called them that had about $100,000, and they thought, wow, I could make $15,000 if I get that client in. And while my kids and my wife and my family and everybody would have cheered me doing that, I couldn't do it because I didn't think it's not suitable for everybody. Now, occasionally, I got a case in where an annuity worked for them for a certain reason or another. And I was able to do it, and I got a big fat commission on it, but I just could not go out and product sell that stuff because I didn't believe in it. I didn't think it was right. Now, I'm not trying to cast myself as some moral champion where I'm just better than financial advisors, because there are good financial advisors out there. They're only about 10%. Let me just tell you, if you're working with a financial advisor, you got about a 10% chance to have one that's really got your best interest at heart. But there are some good ones out there. So if there's any financial advisors listening, I'm sure you count yourself in the good crop. But the industry was just littered with fleecing people to the way I looked at it. And I had conversations with my upper management who were not happy with my level of production and my level of income. I got to admit, I was not happy with my level of income either. I tried to do it the right way. I tried to do it on an asset management thing, where instead of charging my clients this big upfront commission, which would have actually gotten me the McMansion, I tried to just collect a bunch of assets, get a lot of people to invest through me, and just take like 1% a year. I mean, I didn't get the 1%. I got my split of that. The firm got 1%, and then I got half of that. And, you know, so a half a percent a year. There were other financial advisors I was watching around me. They bring in $100,000 and they make $10,000 commission on it. I bring in $100,000, I make $500 commission on it. So you can imagine, I was not the golden child of my firm. I couldn't do it. And I face that constantly. I can't do it on the radio either. I can't be a cheerleader who does not believe in the cause but knows that it'll help my ratings. Could probably get a few more sponsors who just want to be on traditional conservative radio, because to be honest with you, conservative traditional radio reaches a lot of successful people and it's very safe. If I would just play the game and call out the enemies that everybody else calls out and champion the causes that everybody else champions, then by God, everybody knows what they're getting with the Mike Madison Show, and you can get on there because it's part of conservative radio, and conservative radio is a very effective way to advertise products. It really is. Talk radio is a great way because your listeners are engaged. It's not like music that can be very, very background. For talk radio, people are really paying attention. So when a commercial break comes, they hear commercials. It's true. And I want sponsors like everybody else. And the station wants me to have sponsors like everybody else. But I've got this unpredictable side of me, too, where I might actually go after one of the golden calves on the right. So everybody probably wants me to play that game, including, I don't know if that includes you or not, but a lot of the people that may have tuned out of my show because I'm not a Trump loyalist. I would love for the left to be listening to this show because I want to deprogram them as well. I've been through a process of awakening myself, realizing the big issues that are actually going to affect my children. Maybe it was becoming a parent that really changed me, and I thought, what kind of world am I going to leave for my kids? Is my legacy to my kids going to be, am I going to sit them down as the economy is collapsing, as our empire is collapsing, as the debt is bankrupting this entire country, and I'm going to sit my kids down and say, well, look, kids, I just want you to know that your old man did get on Facebook and call a bunch of people libtards. I want you to know that when Nike signed Colin Kaepernick, your dad was right there burning a pair of sneakers. I mean, it sucks about the economy and all and the fact that we've destroyed this once great nation for your generations as we leave. We just leave you with this steaming pile of financial carnage. But I just want you to know that your dad did boycott Nike back in 2018 because I disagreed with one of their celebrities. Is that the legacy I want to leave my kids? No, I'm going to tell my kids, look, I'm really sorry. I saw this coming. But we did nothing about it because we were trapped in this hyperpartisan thing that was sold to us by the media and the political parties. And that's what I've got, you know, I'm not going to die the yuppie in the McMansion probably because I've decided to take this path. I sleep very, very well at night, I will say, even as a financial advisor. I didn't sleep great every night. Money was tight, to say the least. I did not drive up to my financial office in the BMW that I had dreamed of while others did and better. But I just can't do it because I don't believe in it and I'm not a good salesperson for something that I do not believe in. I think it would come across as phony on the air and I think it would come off as pandering. And I made a decision a couple of weeks ago when I announced it on air that I was freeing myself because I have to soft pedal any criticism I have of Trump because I think I turned people off. And then I apologized to everybody and I said, you know what? It's because I was treating my audience like idiots. And I shouldn't do that. I should treat you like adults who can take in alternative information and then make up your own mind. You don't have to agree with me. But I just assumed that everybody that heard me, because there's such love for the Republicans or such love for the Democrats, would turn the station. They just couldn't handle any alternative views. Well, I've decided to give you a tiny bit more credit than that, and I'm going to do these alternative views and let the chips fall where they may. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Mike. How are you today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Hey,
get by your phone. You get by your phone. You're kind of muffled.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me better now?
Yep, much better.
Okay. I was saying I was listening to you earlier, and I wanted to call you when you were talking about the two parties and how the people who's on each side try to support their party to the fullest. And I agree 100%, but it was something I wanted to tell you. I never have seen anything like this in the past the way it is now, and I don't think that you would find any conservatives that's acting like this where, you know, they don't want to talk about anything, you know, where they go out and become violent, you know, against the other party. You know,
yeah.
Because, you know, they and I have to give the conservative battle boy for that, you know, because
right.
you
You're
know,
right.
the stuff that's going on nowadays is it's almost like at war, you know.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. The Republicans have seemed, and the conservatives certainly seem like the calmer heads at the table, but they're wrapped up in the same partisanship. But the left, I mean, the left has really gone clinically insane. I mean, when a child is born, it's not a boy or a girl anymore to them. It's whatever
right.
it decides to be when it's 3 years old. I mean, this is mass insanity. So. Conservatives and Republicans, the problem is that conservatives and Republicans don't pay attention to the fact when their party and their politicians stray so far from real conservative values, like reining in the national debt, or like getting out of health care, not replacing it with something. But, you know, Republicans sit around and talk about, we want small, limited government. This government's out of control and it's bankrupting us. But then they sit back and they wait to find out what great plan for health care the Republicans have for them. What are you going to do for me for health care? Let me just, spoiler alert, you don't need a Republican or a Democrat to give you health care. It's a free market situation, the same way we don't have to sit around and wait for a flat screen TV from somebody. So I'm just trying so hard to break this and try to get some intellectual consistency into the way that we think, because then we would solve some problems. But the thing is that you're right. The left is so bad. I totally understand why the right feels like they need to band together to stop this socialist, radical, leftist, social justice warrior movement. But we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can take on the left and we can take on our own party and say, you vote for another one of these budget busting bills, Cindy Hyde-Smith or Roger Wicker, we will primary your butt. I guarantee you, we will primary every single Republican. We're going to vote Republican, but we're going to primary every single one of you after your first term if you keep going up and doing this crap. We won't do that. We can't walk and chew gum at the same time, apparently.
All right. Well, Mike, I appreciate it. You take care, okay?
Hey, thanks, Willie. I appreciate the call, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, you know, I was just texting with a friend of mine, kind of talking about the Michael Savage show. I like Savage. He's one of the more independent guys out there. There's many things I disagree with him on, but I do like him because he's more independent. He's not Sean Hannity. God knows I lost Sean Hannity fans on this show probably a long time ago, so I guess I can continue to bash him without any fear of repercussion. But, you know, Michael Savage is not Sean Hannity. But I was just texting with a friend of mine, kind of laughing at Michael Savage lets people get about 5 words out of their mouth before he cuts them off. I think I just did that to Willie. So, Willie, I apologize. I am kind of fired up about this, if people can't tell. I'm going to move on and get to some news that I think actually matters. The kinds of things that the media, you know, if they focused on, the American people would be able to laser beam focus on the real problems we've got in this country rather than, what did Mueller say yesterday? What did Mueller say? He said that Trump's guilty. No, he didn't. The report said Trump's exonerated. I mean, how many more years are we going to do this? Looks like at least 2. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we're back. I'm going to get to trying to track down a headline here, confirm something that somebody called about. But I did want to get to some things that really matter. I say they matter. They matter to me. They're going to matter to our kids. They're going to matter to, there we are. There's the headline. Thad Cochran has passed away. Really, probably not surprising a whole lot of people. Obviously, he was in failing health, and I was talking to Brian. Brian called me during the commercial and told me this. I hadn't seen the headline. And I told Brian, I mean, to all of the people who loved Thad Cochran, who knew him personally and his family and his group of friends and people that Thad Cochran was kind to and they had a personal relationship with him, my heart absolutely goes out to you. And that's because Thad Cochran was a human being who had people in his life that loved him and that he loved. And that's about all I have to say about that. We have a system in this country where we elevate people. And I'm not saying that when Thad Cochran was in office, he didn't do anything good. I'm certainly not going to spend a bunch of time parsing through Thad Cochran's policies over his 45 years of service and besmirching him at this point. As I say, my heart goes out to anybody who loses a human being that they love. Even when McCain died, I mean, I don't have any joy at that as an abhorrent figure as I thought he was. There are people that loved him, and that's hard when you lose somebody that you love. My heart goes out to them because I'm a human being, and I've experienced loss like that, and that's kind of my human reaction to it. I don't dance on the graves of people because I know that that hurts people that actually love them. But here we go. That being said, the idea of institutionally spending days, weeks, months honoring people who have been a part of the system that has led us to where we are right now doesn't make any sense to me. This is not directed at Thad Cochran at all. If anybody thinks this is too soon or I'm being callous or something like that, no, I'm just saying, I started the show out by saying I think we should treat politicians as children, not as parents, but we treat them like they're our parents, waiting for them to fix our problems and kiss our boo-boos and make everything okay. I think we should treat politicians like employees and not deities. That's how I started the show today. And so, again, all sympathies to anybody who loved Thad Cochran, anyone who had a relationship with him. But there's so many people who think they had some connection to him because he was on their team and he led their team for a while. And then we've got them. I don't know how many of you have lost a mom or a dad, a brother or a sister, an aunt or an uncle that laid in state in Washington, D.C., but I can guarantee you many of your moms and dads and uncles and aunts were substantially probably better people and a more positive influence on people and our economy and our society than many of the politicians who lie in state. We have created a royalty. And believe me, this will not get me any invitations to any GOP cocktail parties to even be speaking like this. It's probably heresy. Some of you might think it's in bad taste. Again, this is not against Thad Cochran. It's just about the institutions and the way that certain people have risen. We've allowed them to rise to levels of importance that I believe is somewhat manufactured. There are many people do great things in this world on an individual basis. Some people, I have a poster of the guy, if you remember the Chinese guy that stood in front of the tank in Tiananmen Square back in, was that 1989? Is that when that was? I can't remember the year exactly, but I found that to be an inspirational picture for people around the world that, you know, the power of governments, or when you face great power, that one guy, he had a grocery sack in his hand, and most people have seen that iconic image. And I look at that and I say, well, that's bravery. That's something that inspires people. That's one guy who made a little bit of a difference. But when I look at the institutions that we have allowed to flourish over the past many decades, I am just at a pause to try to honor the players in those institutions. Maybe that's callous. Maybe that's cold. Again, as a human being, Thad Cochran, rest in peace. And to all the people who love him, I'm very sorry. That's hard to lose somebody. Nothing against the man. But the wheels, the gears of these institutions have damaged this country pretty substantially for a long time. And I've got kids, and I can't ignore the consequences of the actions that they've taken just because they have name recognition. Just because somebody raised more money than somebody else and had a party establishment on their side and was able to hang on to power for a long time doesn't mean that I am going to spend a great deal of time honoring them. I'm saying these things, and as the words are coming out of my mouth, I'm wondering how much trouble and hatred I could get for this, but it's how I feel. Again, I did last segment saying I can't be fake. I've got time to fill here. I get to tell my thoughts. I got a caller on the line. We'll see if I'm in trouble. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, sir. All right. Hope I've got the right show and just answered the phone.
Yeah, this is Mike Madison show, sir.
I have a question that's not, I have a question off of what you're talking about Thad Crocker. And
okay.
And want to know if you can help me with it.
All right, what's that?
This Equality Act that I've been hearing about, have they voted on it in the House?
That I do not know. I will plead complete ignorance on that. Just tell us about the bill. I know I've heard of this, but I do not know the details of it.
All right. Well, I was just wondering if you knew, because I can't find anything, and I'm wanting to know if they have voted on it, and I'm wanting to know how many Mississippi representatives voted for it is what I want to know.
Well, good. That's exactly what we should do. We should start holding these people accountable to their voting records. Too often we ignore all of their votes just for the campaign speeches and campaign commercials when it comes time for re-election. So,
all right.
I don't know. We'll take
a
look at it. Thanks, man. Sorry, couldn't help. All right, bye. Yeah, and I miss things, too. You know, I will tell you, almost like, I mean, this is kind of an overarching show to me. This is trying to kind of unpack the big picture here. And some things come and go, and I'm not necessarily the guy that knows all the machinations of that. But that guy's right. You know, you should be paying attention to the way politicians vote. I very rarely hear... you know, it's kind of like this dust-up with Justin Amash. I totally disagree with his stance on Trump and impeachment. I'm with you. I'm angry with him. I think it was stupid. I don't know what his motivations are. He may have ulterior motives in what he's doing. I totally disagree with it. But at the same time, I look at his record and say, wow, he was one of the most conservative guys that actually tried to rein in spending. Here's the thing about the Republican Party that just drives me nuts. Their campaign rhetoric is all about fiscal responsibility, blah, 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 blah. Justin Amash was actually kicked off the House Budget Committee because he would not get with the program of endless spending. The Republicans, he was the guy that was set there to who was trying to rein in spending, so they just kicked him off the budget committee. But they're still going to tell you this next election cycle that they're the ones trying to rein in big government spending. Another caller online. Caller, are you with me?
No, I'm going to do you one better, Mike. Look, I'm glad he's dead. I'm sorry. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for it. This man is no different than these lying, scheming Democrats. He took part in one of the greatest usurpations of an election in my lifetime.
That's
I'm
true.
Personally aware of, and I have no respect for him. He hasn't earned 10% for Mississippi what he earned for himself in the power structure of the Republican Party in Mississippi. So I have no sympathy for him. Somebody should have taken him out politically or otherwise earlier. I resent the man, and I'm glad he's gone.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate that call. That gives me a little bit of cover on the show today. So I appreciate it. And I totally understand. You know, he's very right, particularly about this last election was very nasty. It was very nasty. It was a bait and switch of Mississippi voters in order to keep the status quo going, to keep the establishment in charge of Mississippi politics. It was a bait and switch. I told you that he was going to fill out his term, and it was the worst-kept secret in the world. He wasn't going to fill out that term. It was a pure political move to make sure that the establishment and the good old boy GOP Mississippi network kept their people in power. And that should be considered. Absolutely should be considered when you look at the record of Thad Cochran. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
The passing of Thad Cochran brings up a topic that I've been interested in quite a while. I've had conversations with many people where maybe a Trump supporter or an Obama supporter or even somebody who doesn't like Obama, but something is really said negative about him, there are many people out there and their view is, well, he may not be a good president, but they shouldn't say those things about him because he is our president and they should treat him with respect. And my question is always to a free people. Again, I'm going to harken back to the beginning of the show, which you can get on podcast at themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. If you miss a show, subscribe to the podcast. You can also get it on Apple Podcast. I guess maybe you don't need to go listen to the podcast at the beginning of the show because I'm going to say it again. I think politicians should be treated like children, not like our parents. And I think politicians should be treated like employees, not deities. And when I hear that comment about, well, you just have to give respect to the office of president, I am not of that thinking. I believe respect in any circles is earned, not deserved upon rising to some post. I would imagine that it's probably pretty difficult for a lot of shareholders around central Mississippi to give a great deal of respect to Bernie Ebbers. He rose to CEO of MCI WorldCom. Now, his employees had to treat him a certain way, but because you rise to some level of power, I believe you still have to earn respect, and it's not part of the job. An automatic subservience of everybody. You know, I look at it, and I had these conversations with liberals during the Obama administration, and they would say, well, you have to respect him. And this is, I hear a lot of conservatives say this too. And I'm not judging you because, I mean, it's this idea that it's pro-American to always support our president. And I know politics ends at the water's edge when it comes to foreign conflicts and stuff. But look at Barack Obama for just an example. And I'm going to tell you right now, as much as people don't want to hear it, I could say the same thing about Donald Trump. If you've got a president of the United States who is in charge of military invasions of countries that have never harmed us and results in, during the Clinton administration, the death of 500,000 children in Iraq. I know those aren't our kids, so they don't count near as much. What is an, I guess in most people's eyes, an Iraqi children is what, 1/20th of an American child? So it, maybe it's a tragedy when 20 Iraqi children die, but not just one. I mean, you know, they're not equal to us, I guess. Madeleine Albright, she rose to the level of Secretary of State. I believe, wasn't she the first woman Secretary of State the United States has ever had? So is she due some level of respect simply because she played the political game so adeptly that she ended up being the first woman Secretary of State? Or should I judge her on the fact that she went on 60 Minutes and when asked if it was worth it that 500,000 Iraqi children died, she went, yeah, I think it's worth it. When Barack Obama goes into office and starts drone wars and makes jokes about drones, should I respect him because he was able to out-fundraise other Democrats? He was able to put together more flowery speeches. God knows what all went into the election of Barack Obama. He came out of nowhere, a rising star, and suddenly became our first black president. Am I supposed to just automatically respect him? And I'll say the same thing for Donald Trump. A lot of things I like about Trump. A lot of things, not so much. Does Donald Trump just, my point is overarching. It's not by person or by political party or anything. When people arrive at an office, and just let's just think about what goes into attaining some level of power like a Thad Cochran or a Barack Obama or a Madeleine Albright. Basically, it means they played the political game. They plugged themselves into the establishment that picks the winners and losers. The establishment that crushes ordinary people in primaries so that in favor of people who will go to Washington, D.C. and play the game for the lobbyist and the special interest, because they adeptly played a political process, plugged themselves into this massively corrupt machine that is destroying our country, are they automatically entitled to some level of respect just by virtue of having that title in front of them? They perpetuate that by giving themselves lifetime titles. You've noticed that if Hillary Clinton goes anywhere, they still refer to as Secretary Clinton. See, I've made it very widely known that I would like to continue to be known as class favorite Mike Madison. for the rest of my life, because in, I got to tell you, I think I did well. I think I might have been a class favorite all 3 years of my high school. So I achieved that level in my high school. Should I not be able to, you know what I'm saying? I'm making an absurd point, obviously. And so this political class has made themselves self-important. They have made the American people believe that you cannot access health care unless a politician crafts the rules just so that you can be included. That's not a free people. You got a political class that has told you you will starve in the streets because you are too stupid to provide for yourself if we don't have a Social Security safety net and a Medicare Medicaid for you, because you can't make your way in the world. I know Americans did it for 180 years, but we got that Social Security in there because Americans suddenly became dumb as a rock and we can't take care of our own family and our own loved ones. You need the government to do it for you. So they have created this level of self-importance and this necessity in our lives. And you don't think they're a necessity in most people's lives? Look at Twitter and Facebook. Look at the people yelling at each other. People are disassociating from their own families because their brother or their sister, their mom, their dad, or their cousin or their nephew don't like their favorite politician. So they actually break apart family relationships because you've got to support this politician because that politician's going to give you what you want. My politician's going to give me lower taxes. My politician's going to give me health care. They have become so self-important and so they are so self-aggrandized that when one of them passes away, I just say, well, to the loved ones of that particular politician of any party or anything like that, unless they're, I mean, I got to tell you, I'm going to struggle with my humanity should Hillary Clinton kick the bucket. I'm going to have a hard time even mustering any sympathy for her loved ones. And that's wrong of me. That's wrong. But for most of them, you know, within your family unit, God love you. I'm sure you're experiencing some grief. But for the rest of us, why? Why is the death of a politician more important than the death of a grandmother? Hundreds of thousands of them. I don't know how many people die a day. I don't know. We've got a lot of people around here. I guess worldwide, hundreds of thousands of grandmothers and grandfathers, brothers and sisters, children died today. I don't know why the death of a politician is more important than them. Well, because they have more name recognition. You know, and as much as we hate the liberal left, I'm with you, they're obnoxious and all that stuff. But, you know, at least even some of the most objective leftists who just make comments that make us want to scream. I mean, at least they brought some entertainment to our lives at some point. At least they, at some point, some of them got me into a movie theater or into a concert venue for a couple of hours and put a smile on my face. And, you know, I can crank them up on the radio. I might not like their political beliefs, but at least they brought a bunch of joy to my life. I mean, I got to tell you, our so-called elected, and I'm using my air quotes in the studio here, leaders, they don't bring a whole lot of joy to many people at all. Again, I'm going to say it because I want to keep my humanity intact. I do not buy into the hate game. I do buy into the accountability game. Generally, when I talk about people, again, outside of Hillary Clinton, you know, it's kind of funny. I was thinking the other day, I wanted to bring in kind of a debate, a right-left debate, because I see this hyper-partisanship is just destroying this country, and I want to break it apart, because most people just want to get along. I operate throughout society. I don't know what the politics are of 98% of the people I interact with, whether they're service people or mechanics or somebody I hold a door open to or somebody I have a meeting with, and I don't care. We get along fine. We smile. We laugh. We joke. We get something accomplished, and we go home. That's how people should be interacting. Politics gets us at each other's throat. And I was thinking about getting a Republican and a Democrat in here and trying to kind of like moderate a debate and just ask questions to see if I could kind of get them to wake up a tad bit. And I realize it's probably a losing idea. But we're not supposed to have royalty in this country. And we've self-created royalty here. And it feels icky to me in a society that was supposed to be built not on not on people bossing us around and telling us how to live and managing every area of our life. They were supposed to be representative of us. And see, as a libertarian, what I want my representative to do is go up and stop the government from meddling in my life in any way, shape, or form anymore. I want them to unpeel what's been done over the last 100 years. I want them to undo everything. I think respect for somebody is earned. It doesn't come with the job. Performance, you know, honesty, making a difference for the better, those things would earn my respect. But I got to tell you, I don't see a whole lot of that, so I don't shed the tears or play the respect game that a lot of others will. That's just me. That's what you get. Stay with me. One more segment.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
And another beef I have with politicians. This is my final segment. Here's something that'll drive me nuts over the upcoming few days. And Thad Cochran's passing is not, this again, none of this is, Thad Cochran is just, he's passed away, and it's just brought up the topic. Politicians who put out, and now we pretty much do it on Twitter, when anything happens around the world, or it'll happen here in local politics, people will take to Twitter and express, politicians across the board will express their sorrow and their thoughts and their prayers. And I mean, I just have this weird, it's like I'm missing part of my DNA that everybody else has, or I've got some part of DNA that nobody else has. I don't know what it is. When something really tragic happens, we can look at it on a national basis. Imagine a terrorist attack in France. All politicians take to their Twitter feeds or they release a statement that says, "We condemn the actions of X, Y, and Z, and our hearts and prayers go out to the victims of this tragedy." And every time I see that, I think, duh. Did that need to be said? "We condemn the senseless slaughter of innocent people just enjoying a meal in a cafe." Oh, you do? Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll condemn it too. You know what I mean? It's just, and why do they feel, it's like we're waiting for a statement from them. And the thing is, they're kind of boxed into the media will say, they didn't condemn this action. What, do they support it? I mean, this is the childlike behavior we've ended up with. The American people and people around the world are pretty able to determine when things are good or bad. I don't really need a politician to tell me that they condemn something. I think it goes without saying that something horrible that happens when innocent people are slaughtered should be condemned. Actually, I probably want them to condemn more. I'd like to see somebody condemn the innocent 500,000 Iraqi children that died during the first blockade of Iraq under the Clinton administration. That would be a condemnation I could get behind. It'd be something different. Maybe wake some of the American people up. Anyway, the passing of another lifetime politician, might have been a great guy. I think my mom knew him back in the 70s. I was kind of fond of him. Might have been a pretty decent human being. But as far as somebody just spending a lot of time in office, my bar for respect and sorrow is a little higher than that.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.